Hello, everyone. This is Bert Middleton, the Gout Killer, and thank you all for being on the call today. It is just a perfectly beautiful day here at 12 o'clock straight up noon in Denver, Colorado. Doesn't even seem like it's wintertime at all, especially after the last couple weeks. It's been so incredibly cold, snowy, rainy, wet, icy, everything else. It's like all of a sudden it's almost a summer day. So I hope it's a nice day wherever you are. And today, what I threw out there as a topic in this whole gout world is who gets gout. And the reason that I threw that topic out there was because in the past, especially over the holidays, I get this question all the time, what is gout? And soon to follow after that, well, who gets gout? And it's kind of an easy thing for me to talk about, since I talk about gout all day long, every day. But what it really brings to mind and really follows is that what I found helps people with gout is I created this whole program around these seven specific areas in life that have to do with both lifestyle and nutrition and diet, and I created a program out of that. You can find it on my website. It's called Kill Your Gout for Good. But it's real easy to just follow that program to talk about who gets gout. I mean, what is gout and who is really prone to it? And a lot of the people that either are on the call or that may listen to the replay of this call, if you've had gout, then you can kind of relate. You fit in here one place or another, I'm sure. But there are a lot of people that come my way that are looking for more information about what is gout and are they susceptible to it, and is this big, red, shiny, hot, inflamed big toe I've got, is this gout? And then they start wondering, well, okay, why am I getting gout? And kind of where it starts, where I start with my program, is that it starts with air, and I'll kind of run through it just so you know where we're going. It starts with air, then it goes to water, then it goes to good food, then it goes to stress management, and then it goes into toxic chemicals in our environment, and then it goes into exercise, and it goes into sleep. So really quickly, when we're not breathing well, when we are shallow breathers, or if we've gotten to the point where we know we have sleep apnea when we sleep at night, those are ways that our body, that our blood oxygen saturation becomes too low. And when blood oxygen saturation becomes low, your blood can become acidic, and it can become acidic with all kinds of things, including uric acid. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people who have sleep apnea end up with gout. And the next one is water. And so many people in our society today, we have this abundance of this really great water that we can just, hold a glass under a faucet and fill it up and drink it right then and there. But statistically speaking, it's been proven that about 4 out of 5 Americans are chronically dehydrated. And that's because we drink anything but water, and we end up drinking a lot more coffee, soda, and alcohol than water, and those are all diuretics, and they just add to our dehydration. So some people are getting gout just because they're chronically dehydrated. The third one is food, and most people really gravitate to the idea that gout is all about diet, and what we're either eating or not eating is causing our gout, and like every other degenerative lifestyle disease, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, strokes, all kinds of different arthritis and joint pains and depression and everything in our world today, it can be traced back to the fact that about 60, 80, 100 years ago, we started messing around with our food. And so now what we call food, or the food-like substances that we eat, are really not giving us the nutrition and making our bodies work the way they should be. And so we traded infectious diseases from around the turn of last century for lifestyle diseases, and gout is definitely one of them. eating processed foods, eating fast foods, that has a lot to do with why we all have gout. All those synthetic oils, all of that high fructose corn syrup, and all of the bad sugars. The next one is stress management, and what I always like to say is they don't call it the silent killer for nothing, and the effects and the hormonal imbalancing that happens when we eat all of these poor foods end up creating an enormous strain on our hormonal system and especially our adrenal glands, and we're all just kind of like running on cortisone, I mean cortisol. Cortisol being a hormone that comes from our adrenal glands, and so often that cortisol is what is helping to keep our blood sugar regulated because we just eat too much sugar in one in various different forms or another throughout our everyday lives, and that is a form of physical stress that is hormonally imbalancing that creates a very acidic inner environment and a great inner environment for gout to happen or gout to flourish. So stress, I mean, we could go on and on about stress, but stress is just rampant in so many different forms in our society, and it plays a hand in why we get gout. The next one is toxic environmental chemicals, and we always think about industry and agriculture being these big pollutants, but most of us don't know that our indoor air quality is so much more polluted usually than our outdoor air quality, and it's polluted for a number of different reasons. I mean, we have all kinds of pathogens and bacteria and viruses and germs and all kinds of things that float around and get trapped inside of our houses. But also, just think about all the different off-gassing from all the weird toxins that come from paint and from carpets. And then we don't even think about how our dishwashing soap, our laundry soaps, our cosmetics, the things we shave with, the things we wash our hair with. There are so many different toxic chemicals that just soak right through our skin, into our blood, and in minute amounts over 10, 20, 50, 60 years, they end up clogging up the way that our livers, our kidneys, and who knows what else works. And the end result is we end up with these degenerative diseases. So toxic chemicals doesn't mean the pollution you see coming out of a smokestack on some big factory building down the street. It's kind of like what's going on in the very room you're sitting in right here and now, and what you're breathing, what's going through your skin right now. That's a big deal in terms of gout. Exercise is the next one, and most of us just are so busy, and we sit in front of computers, and we never get out there and just walk around the block, let alone go to the gym, let alone get up in the mountains and go for a good bike ride or a good hike or something like that. I talked a few weeks ago about how the best exercise for gout is simply walking. So right after this call, let's all just hang up and go for a walk around the block, because just plain walking starts getting our respiration going in a bigger way, and it helps to move our lymph. And the lymph is where all of the metabolic wastes get sort of like dumped in our bodies so they can get carried out. And if we don't keep our lymph moving and flowing really, really well, then we end up just accumulating toxicity. And one way or another, that toxicity kind of clogs up the way our organs work, and especially our kidneys. And kidney health and kidney function translate directly into whether we get gout or not. And then finally, the one that really seems pretty interesting is sleep and the importance of sleep and the importance to our overall health of sleep. I mean, we all feel better when we've had a good night's sleep, but we don't really even know why. And one of the biggest things that I like to put out there for people is that sometimes between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. is called liver time. And our liver is this very hardworking organ, and it does a million different things for us, including detoxify what we bring in from the outside world. But it can't go into that detoxification process until we're absolutely still and in what's called a parasympathetic state. And the most parasympathetic state is when we're in a very deep sleep. That's when our body, nothing else is going on, and the liver can finally do its detoxification work. So when we mess up the way that we are able to sleep with all kinds of stimulants like coffee and alcohol, or too much stress, and staying up too late and looking at computers and TVs and bright lights, and then we go to bed too late and we try to get up too early, that causes our liver to not work as well. And so that translates in various different ways to whether or not we end up getting gout. So that was kind of a whole big long load of information to throw out there, but any one of those areas or any combination of those areas is a big reason why a lot of people either get gout, or what I'm more concerned about, more worried about, why I wanted to throw this out there, is that there are a lot of people out there that fit into a lot of those categories that have not yet got gout, but gout is in their future. And I would like to do whatever I can to prevent that from happening. So I want to shut up for a while. And if anybody has any comments, questions, wants to add to this, has any stories about how that might relate to any of this or not, about gout or otherwise, please speak up. Who's out there? So it's kind of going once, going twice. If anybody wants to jump in and add to the conversation. Hello? And if not, the replay, what I have been doing here with these phone calls, is that there's been a lot of good information that other people have brought to the conversation, that I create a blog post out of these. You know, I'm trying to create somewhat of sort of like a resource library for people to be able to refer back to, and create this an audio form that, instead of them having to sit at their computer or try to read this on their phone, is something they can just play like while they're in their car or when they're on the treadmill at the gym or something, or going for a walk like we all should be doing. So look for this. It will be under the blog role on my website, thegoutkiller.com. Up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a tab that says blog. And there will be a whole list of different things. And this one's going to be titled, Who Gets Gout? And I even think that there's enough going on with this topic that I'm going to make it the topic of my newsletter that goes out every Monday at 4:58 a.m. Denver time. And there's more that I'd like to talk about that. And I think it's an important topic for, again, the prevention of gout. But there will be another conference call. I haven't figured out what the topic is going to be. I always look for new ideas from people about what next week's conference call, next week's gout call, Thursday at noon, is going to be. And also next week on Thursday at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, I do a Google Hangout. And I set it up so you can watch the live stream of that Google Hangout on thegoutkiller.com. All you got to do is hit the tab at the top. It's called Gout Killer TV, and you can hang out there and watch that, or you can watch the replay. There will be a blog post about that. And something that I wanted to make sure everybody knew about, because I had been planning on doing another gout-specific seminar at Natural Grocers, the one that's at the corner of Colorado and Evans here in Denver, on Sunday, January 25th. But now I have to be out of town in Los Angeles on that weekend, and I've had to postpone it, reschedule it for Sunday, February 22nd at 1 p.m. And the topic of that is going to be how to stop a gout attack naturally. And so I hope if you live in the Denver area that you can join me. It's only going to be an hour long. It will be very fast, and there will be plenty of time for comments and questions and time to get into conversation. But it would be great to see you there. And if one more chance, if anybody has anything they'd like to add, or if they have any questions, or if they have a good story about gout that relates to what we're talking about today, please feel free to talk, to speak up.
Hey, Bert, it's Connie. Thanks for the great information. I have a question for you.
Very good. Hi, Connie.
If I were to give some suggestions to about a 46-year-old man who suffers from gout, a very, very crazy, hectic, busy lifestyle, where's a simple place? I mean, all of your 7 points are absolutely right on. Where would be a great starting point?
You know, what I would, of course, say is that if he would like to go to my website, thegoutkiller.com, there are the main tabs across the top talk about gout diet. It talks about what is gout. It talks about gout treatment, and it talks about what causes gout. And there is just an enormous amount of information that I have on my website, and I've kind of changed it around so that it's not as daunting as it once was. But if there is any kind of a question about gout, like I have my knee hurts, could this be gout? And they just type that into the little search function up in the right-hand corner of the website, they'll get a whole list of all the different pages and posts that talks about getting gout in the knee, as an example. So I've tried to create thegoutkiller.com as a big resource, but that is one starting point. How does that sound?
Perfect. I will send him there.
Okay, yeah. And otherwise, as far as how I've tried to help get people with gout in general over the last 6 years now is I found that I have so much to say, as you can tell. It's hard to get me to shut up once I get going. But there is so much that I've had to say, but I created an ebook that helps people get out of a gout attack, which it's a lot harder to stop a gout attack than it is to prevent gout. And so, you know, my ebook is called Kill Your Gout Now. And then my video-based program that I kind of mentioned earlier, which is a great big video-based program that goes on, that it gets delivered sequentially for 7 days, a lot of information about how to prevent gout, and that's called Kill Your Gout for Good. And so, I created these products, and I've been able to help a lot of people with them. If I could give them away for free, I would, but, you know, I do charge for them.
Okay.
It's a lot of information, but it's a very comprehensive program for leading people through what's going on in their lives to a different place that helps them to avoid getting gout. So I do have resources like that. And otherwise, you know, I'm a certified nutritionist, and I like to work with people one-on-one, and I can do that remotely, or I can see people in person here in Denver.
Perfect. Well, I know as much discomfort as he has experienced, I think he would be willing to pay for something that actually worked. So I will definitely pass on the information.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you, and I appreciate it. And you know, I would love to be able to speak with him and help him. And it's just the strangest thing. Once you've got gout, people who don't get gout, they just can't relate to how much it hurts. But boy, when I talk to somebody and I say, yeah, I used to get gout, and they go, yeah, I used to get gout too. There's this whole bond that happens, like we're in the same club, like we understand each other. So just, you know, being able to talk to somebody, who has been through what he's been through, just that can be very helpful in and of itself.
So it's not, so kind of once the body type experiences that, it's kind of an ongoing because of the way their body processes food or doesn't process food. It's not like a you get gout once and get rid of it or address it. Then it just kind of continues and it becomes a ongoing ailment.
It for just 98% of the people out there, yes, that's the way that it works. You know, once you get it once, then the likelihood of you getting it again and again and again and again and it coming back more frequently and with more severity is highly likely. It's
okay.
Not that there aren't people that they got it once and then they never got it again. Although I could go very deep on this, it sort of starts with how our digestion gets compromised and becomes poor. We get poor digestion, and we don't break down the proteins correctly. That then later slowly adds to diminishing kidney function. And our kidneys are what sort of like from moment to moment tell us, direct the body on how much uric acid to keep and how much uric acid to let go. And so little by little, kidney function as we get older, especially in this toxic world we live in, you know, it just slowly our kidneys just don't process the uric acid as well as they once did. And that's why gout just sort of keeps happening more and more and then more and more often. So,
okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Great information. Thanks for sharing.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for being on the call. I really appreciate it.
Well, I look forward to more good things.
Very good. So without if there is anyone else on the call that would like to add anything to the call, please feel free now. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up, and I will be figuring out what the best topic is for next week, and so stay tuned. I'm going to put it on Facebook and all the other social media and also put it out in my newsletter list and let everybody know what it is. So is there anyone else that has anything to say? Well, very good. Thank you all for being on the call, and look forward to talking to you all again next week. Thank you.